from the Blue Cliff Record, the third case, Master Ma is unwell. Great Master Ma was unwell. The temple superintendent asked him, "Teacher, how has your venerable health been in recent days?" The great master said, "Sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha." A bit of context. Master Ma is a teacher from around 700, the date, in China, and he had over 100 transmitted heirs. He was a great teacher. Indeed, his descendants formed the Rinzai and Soto schools. So he had an enormous influence in the history of Zen. Master Ma was sick, and shortly after this case, he died. So he was not just a little bit sick. He was very ill. And so when the head monk came and asked him how he was doing, he offered a teaching that lives on to this day and that we explore to this day. What a thing. I imagine the monk coming in and perhaps with great concern, how are you today? And this response, sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha. Quite an opportunity for us to explore the Dharma. Just yesterday, I got a shot for the shingles, and it's a vaccine, and for whatever reason, I react very strongly to this vaccine. I've had two of these shots, the second one in a series, and so all day today, I had what felt like a flu. And if you'd asked me in the middle of the day how I was doing, I probably would not have said, "Oh, sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha." I probably would have said, "Oh my God, I feel like terrible crap. I'm so achy." So what a thing for this teacher in this moment where he is so seriously ill to offer the Dharma in this way. And what Dharma was he offering? Sometimes these words are described as flavorless words. I'll get into that, a little bit of what that means. But first, before we go there, the flavorless words of emptiness, let's take them on the form level. Sun-faced Buddha. There's a connection with this sun-faced Buddha is a Buddha who is supposed to have lived for 1,800 years, a long, long, long life, an eternity, a kind of timeless existence in a way. And moon-faced Buddha is a Buddha who lives for one day and one night. You can imagine the cycles of the moon being brief in comparison to the endless cycle of a sun. So we can imagine, perhaps, that Master Ma is offering a teaching connected with time. Maybe my life has been long, and now my life is short. We can imagine that he is offering a teaching about good and bad. Sometimes my life is sunny and feels good. Sometimes my life is dark and painful and feels bad. These are the metaphors, ways that we can interpret this language. I'm sure we can come up with hundreds more. And all of them are wonderful. This form level of working with koans, this associative level of kind of opening the mind wide and allowing the koan to generate associations, connections, quite lovely, actually. We might even think of yin-yang, each the seed of its opposite contained. In the dark there is a seed of light, and in the light there is the seed of darkness. Everything changing to become its opposite. We might picture the orbiting moon, the earth orbiting the sun. We might think about the ways that the sun is reflected in the face of the moon. And in our Zen style, the moon is reflected in the face of the sun, each giving rise to the other, deeply connected and interwoven. Like a great mirror. And in this great mirror, we find the interwovenness of emptiness, of non-distinction. And of course, our mind is still operating in this metaphorical way, exploring associatively what the koan might evoke for us. It's a beautiful way to work with koans. Very important aspect of koan practice is to allow these associations to arise. Like almost out of a dream, perhaps. And we can notice that in many respects, many of the associations that we have are rather dualistic. Good and bad, a long life, short-lived. So the koan evokes for us this quality of the mind itself, the way that the mind divides this from that, the way the mind divides good from bad. How are you today? He is asked. And he offers up good and bad. So that's the world of form. By the world of form, we might think of it as the way that things are distinct and the way that we conceptualize things. The way that I am not you. The way that you are not me. The way that when one thing happens, we can be quite certain that it is bad, and when something else happens, we can be quite certain that it is good. Perhaps ethically speaking, these relative truths, not to be dismissed. So how are you today? You might have asked me at 3 o'clock. And I answer, bad. So then we have this invitation to go with this koan even more deep, more deeply into the koan, to explore these dualities between good and bad, between long-lived and short-lived, between right and wrong. This is the eye of practice that we use to explore. This is where we enter the relative truth, if you will, the way that things appear to us, with the eye of practice. Notice this is not about getting rid of the relative truth. I don't need to be rid of the label sick. I'm sick. I feel sick. But I can be with that sickness in a curious way, and I can look more deeply into it, and I can ask, what is sickness? What is this illness, this thing I have labeled illness? And with the eye of practice, I find there is no illness at all. We read in the sutra, just expand and illuminate the original truth, unconcerned by external conditions. Accordingly, we are told to realize that not a single thing exists. In this field, birth and death do not appear. Sickness and health do not appear. Why is this? Are these two separate realities that we're talking about? Am I going into a place of denial? I'm sick as a dog, and yet, no, I'm not sick. The macho Zen style. Is that what this is? Not at all. Not at all. This is a compassionate awareness that we bring to ourselves, to the world, each moment. An awareness of sickness, an awareness of our soreness, our achiness. We turn toward it, and we see that there is no substance there at all. It is not a thing. More like a shape-shifting cloud of sensations. The eye of practice shows us impermanence and non-essence. There is no sickness at all. Sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha. Emptiness and form, sickness, no sickness. Where do we find no sickness? By looking deeply into sickness. Where do we find nirvana? By looking deeply into samsara. Nirvana is the ultimate truth of samsara. They are not two. And this is what we mean by flavorless words. By pointing to moon-faced Buddha and sun-faced Buddha as if they are two, our teacher is playing an old Zen trick, dividing reality from itself, turning one into two. And this is what we mean by flavorless words. So the encouragement, as we sit with koans, is to allow all of these associative, generative meanings to arise for us when we first encounter the koan. But then to continue to sit with it, and to see beyond these distinctions that arise. To get a glimpse of the emptiness of these forms. And of course, that's not the end of it. Because the emptiness of these forms is also sickness. It's me coughing. It's the achy quality of my legs. Emptiness and form, not two. So we can say that we speak about the world from these two perspectives. But there is just one world. Great Master Ma was unwell. The temple superintendent asked him, "Teacher, how has your venerable health been in recent days?" The great master said, "Sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha." Thank you.